two classes left. And as I was talking to Mark last week, just can't get it all in. There's a lot of things I wanted to cover with that. And I mentioned to him that I was going to do some talk on stewardship, but I think that him and between him and CL, his class, that CL's doing, that's been covered ground. So I decided to just kind of move on to other things. Tonight I'm going to talk about an avenue of things to teach our children is how to get them more prepared, more ready, okay? More specifically, how they're going to secure their hearts and get their hearts ready to follow God as a lifelong effort with obviously wanting to make heaven as a home when this life is over. Let's start in Psalms 119. And verse 9. First part of that verse says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Depending on what version that you're reading from, it could say, how can a young man cleanse his way? There's another way to word that. Another version says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And another version says, how can a young person live a pure life? So this question is asked, and so we're hoping to answer that question with our lesson, our class tonight. Again, we're going to hopefully learn some things, some exhortations we can give to our kids that would lead them to keep their lives and their hearts pure. First thing I think we need to look at to go with our kids is there's a few things they have to do. They always have to do something, right? And so some encouragement to them as they go through their life. As they reflect on what they want to do, when they want to spend eternity. So one of the first things that they're going to learn early is sometimes they're going to separate themselves from certain things. There's certain things that you can't do, that they can't. They're going to come to terms with those things. One of those is they're going to separate themselves from places of sin. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 6 for just a second. Nehemiah refused to go down to the plain of Ono. Different circumstances. But Nehemiah chapter 6. We learn here says, now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet together at Hakapharim in the plain of Ono, but they intended to do me harm. It says he sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should I stop the work while I leave it and come down to you? But he recognized that they meant to do him harm. So he recognized this was a place that he didn't need to go. Didn't need to go looking for trouble. He recognized it as being there. He understood that there was danger where he was asked to go. And so he understood that. And didn't go. Teach our kids, they're going to have many, many choices, obviously, throughout their life. And one of those is places to go. Teach them to ask themselves questions. Who's going to be there? A lot of times, most of the time, they're going to know ahead of time who's going to be there. What kind of people are they? What's going to be there? Is there going to be drugs there, alcohol, and so forth? So what kind of activities are going to be at this place? Or what's going to be the main purpose? What are they going to be doing while at this place? And so we'll teach our children to ask these questions early and decide, hey, is this a place I need to be or a place I need to separate myself from? We talked about in the past, wrong place, wrong time, and so forth. So we impress upon them to ask themselves those type of questions. Is this a risk that I'm willing to take? And again, they may not even do anything wrong themselves, but the people who are there, the things that are there can get them in trouble on those things. So they need to ask themselves that question. So they got to learn to separate themselves from places of sin. Again, some places are just detrimental to their spiritual health. And they need to recognize that. That's not their goal, is to do what they're doing there. I've got other goals, higher goals. Teach our children to separate themselves from people of sin. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness. So again, this general principle, there is no partnership that righteousness has with lawlessness. And those are who you're with. So a warning there, people of sin, separate yourselves from them. We need to teach our children to choose their friends wisely. Someone turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 for me. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Teach them to choose their friends wisely because they do have strong influence over what they'll do, the choices they make. Someone go ahead and read that for me, please. And another hard lesson for our kids to learn is sometimes your good friends change over time. You ever had a friend who was good and wholesome and good to be around, but over time they got with the wrong crowd and you were real close with them, but they weren't the same anymore? Hopefully our kids won't have to learn that lesson. But some of their friends change, and they got to be able to recognize and expect that sometimes, that their good friends who were good to be around at one time may not always be that way, at least for a certain period of time.
I think they think a lot of times too great. Because they're a bad person doesn't mean I'm a bad person, and I can be an example for them. And they minimize the risk by saying, you know, I can hang around them and not be corrupted. And sadly, by the time they get in with them and the corruption happens or it's around them and they're associated with it or whatever, it's too late then.
Yeah. And the old adage, too, you know, they may think, well, I can be a good influence on them.
Yeah.
The old adage of, if I'm standing on top of a cliff and my friend's on the rope on the other end,
right,
am I going to pull him up or is he going to pull me down? And so we give that example to them as well. And it's good intentions for them to do that. But maybe the setting they're trying to do that in, you know, if they're in a bad setting, at a wild party is probably not the best place to have that discussion. Any other comments about that?
I was thinking, you know, if you don't know your, if they know their companions, and they know, we all know, we were young, we knew when we went somewhere what was what. Our parents are the ones that didn't know. And when we don't know, that's a danger area. We need to know if we're going to relinquish or allow our children when they're younger before they can make their own decisions. We need to know those people, or they don't need to go.
And they'll even question, you know, why do you need to know this? And so we need to explain to them and teach them why we need to know that and why it's important. So they'll understand and appreciate it, hopefully appreciate it. They also need to learn to separate themselves not only from places of sin and people of sin, but also from the power of sin. Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Now someone can go ahead and get 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. 1 John chapter 2, someone please.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God, lives forever.
But of course, those things you just listed are very powerful allurements to all of us. Yes, sir.
Let me insert something. Just get some comments from me, because something Cheryl have been discussing even with the grandkids. You can't drive to the point you make their decisions for them. You are to guide them in those decisions. Once they reach the age of 18 or 19, all they need the input is what's bad or good. When you look at Solomon learned his wisdom how? Through the mistakes that he made. He came to know a lot of things was vanity. You know, whether his eyes stuffed his heart, that he did. But he came to realize through that the wisdom and the knowledge that he presented to us in the books that he wrote. Just some thoughts on that for me. I understand, you know, you didn't know what to do.
Right.
But 18 or 19, they didn't know what you were going to be able to do other than that. Is it truth that there's knowledge and wisdom learned through making the wrong decisions?
Well, I mentioned that last week. We talked about giving advice, and it's just that it's advice. They're either going to take
right.
it or not.
And we have to learn through the mistakes.
We do. And we talk about owning your own mistakes and learning from them. Maybe this is one thing. we give them enough information to minimize so they're not huge mistakes, I guess you could say?
My deal is with 18 and 19, and you ain't
got it. 18 and 19 is an age that's set by our civil law, but you know, God's word and under the structure of the family, that child is under your rule. You know, you have the responsibility to see to it. But I understand when they do get to an age, you know, they're going to make their own decisions. They're going to have to. You hope by then that they're directed enough to make those right decisions. But I think a lot of that falls age. Some kids at 18 are a lot more mature than others. We've all seen some children that have been overly sheltered to the point that they can't. In society, they have a hard time functioning.
That, or sometimes they just, this is probably the wrong term, but they want to go live.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know,
see what's out there.
I think that falls a lot under rule. You get a lot of these kind of questions when you work the road because the law says 18 years old. And that's right. I mean, under our civil law, a child is considered an adult. But, you know, if it falls under the structure of the family, God's law, if they're under your control, then they're under your control.
Really changed over time too, because not terribly long ago when kids were 18, 19, 20, they were getting married and leaving the house. Now they're staying at home until they're 25, 30, and the parents are honestly taking care of every need the child could possibly need. Food, water, shelter, space, the whole bit, and they're getting to live and quote make their mistakes, but there is no repercussions necessarily. Because the parents really pay a lot of price to keep them sheltered or saved or kept out of that learning that CL's talking about, that hard knock that they should get for getting a bad job or a bad friend or making a bad mistake. We cushion by bringing them back home and putting them in the basement and letting them live under your roof with your money, your food, your everything. So that hard knock life lesson that he's talking about, we've nearly taken away. There's a lot of kids that should be getting some money.
Stand on their own feet.
You think back when they came out of school, most of them, back in the 50s and 60s, moved north, was working. At 18, I was drafted. Moved around to another part of the world. You grew up quick. You learned responsibility. I'm like, oh, that's not so today. We go making these decisions and so on. We ought to say they'll learn through the mistakes and suffer the consequences. Does God not do that with us? The mistakes that we make. You know, you bear the consequences of your sins. Sometimes it may be death or whatever, but we're allowed to do that.
And ultimately, isn't what us learning these physical lessons, that's to prepare us for what? Our spiritual life.
This is something they haven't been studied about.
I'm going to try to explain to mine too. There's a huge difference in making a mistake, which we all do, and to keep repeating that mistake and letting that become your character. If you don't learn and you keep repeating it over and over and over, then that's really who you want to be. That's who you are. So it's important that they realize, okay, this is a mistake. I need to change something.
Again, doing that same thing over and over and expecting different results.
And I think, you know, talking about 18, 19-year-old kids, I think boys, but thinking about that, I feel like you have to show, you have to give them respect that they're due at that point. They're 18 or 19 years old, and they deserve to have that. And what you hope for is that all this time up to 18 years old, you've given them the respect that they should have had the whole time, and you've shown them the right things to do, and now when they're 18, 19 years old and it's time for them to make their own decisions on their own, they know that we're there to hopefully give them advice if they need it, but it's their time to make their own choices, and they're going and we all learn from our mistakes, and most of the time the hard way, and that they're just because
there's a lot of hope in there. There's a lot of,
yeah,
a lot of, it's a leap of faith.
Yeah, and with that, just like Steele said, God hopes that we do the right thing. I mean, that's that. We've been raised and taught His doctrine. The idea is at some point we're going to obey it, and that's what the hope is.
There's very few Timothys in families. They're from a child. There's very few Timothys. That can be done, yes. But you have Solomon as the very opposite. So, you know, you've got this thing that it can be done. Children make good decisions. But that very seldom happens.
And there's also this, very few Timothys who may have been taught just as well as Timothy was. But at the end of the day, Timothy has to make that decision. Regardless of that age, whether it's 18 or 12.
So. Think about the parable of the prodigal son. I mean, he made his decision. Now, he learned the hard way that he needed his father. I mean, that's supposed to teach us that if we're going to live a sinful life, we're going to learn the hard way that we need God.
And through that story too, the prodigal son knows that because he experienced it better than his brother does. So what's the chance that he's going to go back and do that again? It's less because he lived it. He experienced it. He did those things.
But they looked at the father while he died.
Right.
Yeah. He was there.
He didn't support him in his sinful behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, he let him go.
But when he repented, he was going to take him back.
Right.
I think that's, we've all heard that age when we were growing up. You know, our fathers have all told us, you know, as long as you're under my roof, you know, this is the way it'll work. And that's why the prodigal son probably left. That was what we tolerated under his father's roof. But when the mistake was made, the father was there. If he came back into his house, he lived by his rules. That was forgiven.
It's a hard question, Sam. I mean, it's well, even that, you know, we're focusing on the mistakes the child makes, that sometimes we as parents make mistakes, and we have to learn from our mistakes. So it's a lesson that goes both ways.
And you have to give them room to make those mistakes. And they start here. You start little. You can't wait to get 10, 11, 12-year-olds start saying, you're going to do this. It starts here. We've all been guilty of letting them get away with things they shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, they still need that room to make that mistake.
But there's some mistakes that are more drastic than others.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by, you know, the life changing ones.
Drastic
ones,
consequences. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ray had probably the key point in all of that is we need to support the kids. We need to bring them back. We need to take care of them. But we need to support good choices, good behaviors. Like, you can't let them go live that wild life the prodigal son did, come home, get some more money, and take off again. He came home and said, oh, I am so sorry. That was a bad idea. Dad said, come on, we'll get through this. But that whole, I want to go out and party, and I'm coming home, and then I'm going out and party, and then I'm coming home, that's not the support. That's just enabling the kids to continue bad behavior. And that's where a lot of parents, that's the kids that I have a lot of in my classrooms. That's the kids that are causing some trouble, is the ones where the parents are going, oh, honey, I will pet you and you will be all good. And it makes for a long day.
Any other comments about that? That was a good discussion. So if you want to continue that discussion, we will. Did you get an answer?
Wrong.
Mm-hmm. But you question yourself still, did I make the right decision?
Yes.
Did I do enough? Did I do?
That's been a day I gave us road, and he's the most, I told you so, but whatever, the consequence of the law, he didn't come get you. Yeah. He just said, if he's in jail, you stay there and get you out. You got in, you get out. You didn't get back in no more. Yeah. But you were told this is what you need to do, but again, he allowed that.
Tough love.
Said, wow, they
let you learn.
Yeah, he didn't tie you up to the chain. It might be Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians talking about this world that we have to be either stay secluded or leave this world, stay away from that type of atmosphere. And we can't do that.
Right.
So we're going to be involved probably, what, 9 to 1 with the sinfulness of the world, or 9 to 10, than we are brothers and sisters each day.
Yeah.
Young kids, they want this acceptance from their fellow people of their age. They want to be accepted. That's just the age they're at. And they want to experience things that we've experienced. No longer is of an interest to us. But at the time, it perks their interest because it's something they have never done or been involved in. So it's, to see what, it might be your first taste of whiskey. You wonder what it tastes like. Well, if you've drunk it and lay there and swallowed it and it'll get old for a week or so, you have no longer desire for that. But they're going through a different thing than what we've already been through. So there's a lot of things that perk their interest.
Yeah. And sometimes, probably answer your question, if they're denied that for a long, long time and now they're in their 20s, now they're really interested, possibly, in certain things. So,
Greg, I've seen, even not my particular family, in our group, those who were denied that got out and spent months in riotous living and now find out that they weren't what they thought and no longer do it. But, at the time, because they were denied that for a time, when they got the freedom, they just went wild.
You can be too strict and you can be too lenient.
I think we make ourselves feel a little bit better, though, by realizing that denying them that righteous living is our responsibility.
Yeah.
We are to deny them that, and we are to keep them from that. When they go try it, they may do it. A good percentage do. But they don't believe us of our responsibility as parents. That as long as they're in our house and in the structure, that they follow God's word.
If anybody's ever dealt with their drugs, if a child gets on those, they are not capable of coming home like the prophet said. So there's some decisions that you better be making to protect those kids because that's one thing if they can't try and come back home and be all right. Because they can't get off of them.
That's why I say you go, watch them and don't want to be, again, I hate to say too big of a mistake, but like you all know what I'm talking about. Any other comments?
I got one, but I don't know how to say it. I was a prodigal son twice, really, if I count this coming back. I was on drugs. And for 4 years, I had to go every day to AA meetings. And everybody was the same. Everybody could talk and relate because we all basically had the same story. When I was growing up, because of something that happened to me as a very young child, I was very low state that I couldn't really talk and still have problems talking to men and relating with men. But I rarely talked. And I held such high esteem for my mother and father and family, I thought they never sinned. And so when I was faced with problems in school, I couldn't have nobody I could focus on to talk to help me. And that's what I want to be able to do with my kids and my grandkids, is let them know you're going to go into the garden to work here pretty soon when you start school and you're going to get dirty. There's no doubt about it. You can't go work in the garden and not get dirty. Huh. So, it's like Steele said, 90% of the time that's where you're at. I want them to know, hey, I can tell you about this subject. This is what happened to me, like Solomon. I failed so many times. I can tell you how to fail. Anything you want to know what to do, I can tell you what not to do. But I want our children to be able to talk to us and not be put in a bubble. Because they're born in this world, and Satan is who we need to blame in this world. Quit blaming everybody else. Let's blame Satan for a while. Let our kids know about Satan. Sure, these people are bad. But look at their parents. I could give anybody in the world my parents. They could have turned out a whole
comes down to my, you know, when we go to them like that, simply just saying you don't do that because you don't do that. Explain to them why. Give them examples.
Yeah.
You've lived that to you. Give them examples.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sure you wish you hadn't made choices you made, but you can benefit and they can benefit from that now.
Yeah. But I just wanted to be able to talk to him. Because
yeah.
I felt like I couldn't. And it was for reasons they didn't know about. Because I didn't say it. I was too ashamed to say it. And then, in my eyes, my brothers and sisters, I've never seen him sin in my life. My mother, in my mind, would have been the same mother that Jesus had. You know? And Father, you couldn't ask for two better parents in my mind.
But rest assured, Mike, and no one disagreed with me, we've all sinned, have we not?
I know we've all sinned, but you know, it's just I don't want them to not be able to come to me because they're afraid that I'm going to tell them so strict that no, you can't go there for this reason or that reason.
Right.
And like you say, you're making them. They have to learn themselves to stand.
But you can describe to them and tell them detail.
You can tell them what's going to happen, and they're still going to do it, but you can kind of help them.
Yeah, and tell them in a loving way.
And
explain it to them well.
Explain, yeah.
Rather than just you don't do it because. Anybody else got any comments about that?
I can say this, but without the brother, I just know his mother too well. But Roscoe was one of the finest guys I ever met in my life. And I hunted fox hunting with him, and he'd always give me good Bible verses out of the Bible. And, you know, it was a big help to me. I worked the best fellow from that time. No way. But he really didn't get it help me a lot.
Let me make a couple more points here. And we'll finish up the lesson here. And I'm just going to kind of, as an outline, go through this. But I'd like the discussion. Like we learned a lot from that. But some other things to get on again, getting on with how we can do those things that you talked about, Mike. Teach them to separate themselves from certain things, certain people, and so forth. Certain appearances of evil. They got to surrender themselves. We have to surrender ourselves. And that's a lesson for us, number one. But we got to surrender our time. That's number one we got to do as far as the things we do. We got to surrender our speech. How we talk. I meant more of bad language in certain things, but also think about what we say and how we say things to our kids. Explain them well. It's not simply do this because. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let's turn that real quick. This might go with this too, Mike. But let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I often say to my boys when they're arguing, it's usually to Alex, not Lucas, but did you say that to help or to hurt? And he'll just stop and he knows the answer right then and there. Did you say that to help or to hurt? So the same thing here in verse that we read here, you know, that fits the occasion. That no corrupted talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion. So again, how are we saying things to our kids and explaining things to them well? Are we saying it to help them? Or just, and in this instance of hurting, just, you don't do it. You know, we explain things to them. But we've got to teach them to surrender their speech, surrender their thoughts. Probably the hardest one, which is probably the essence of Christianity, is we've got to teach them that they're going to have to deny themselves. Is there a harder thing to do than denying yourself in anything? Your wants, your desires, and so forth. That's the hardest lesson that we still struggle with every day. They're going to have to learn to deny themselves. In Luke 9:23, let's turn there real quick. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. these words that Jesus spoke here, if anyone desires to come after me, our kids are going to have to learn there's a decision they're going to have to make. We're going to have to make a decision. That's the first part. The second part says, let him deny himself. So we've got to be willing and teach our kids to be willing that there's going to be some denial there. There's going to be some sacrifice that they're going to have to do for anything, any lust that one may have. And take up his cross daily. That indicates dedication. That they're going to have this continual commitment. This is not a non-ending thing. It's this continual commitment. And then finally, determination. When Jesus said, and follow me. He also said in Matthew 4, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And what does the next verse say? What did they do? Immediately. So they made that decision to do those things. We're not all fortunate enough to make that quick decision. Our kids are not always that fortunate to make that quick decision. Sometimes they've got to mess up and learn and become that prodigal son that comes back. And then make that decision. But they got to deny themselves. And the main thing also is through pride. We've talked about pride a lot. They've got to deny themselves of their pride as well. Deny themselves of interest solely of themselves. From a young age, kids are interested in who? Themselves. They have to deny themselves. That's the hardest thing that we have to do as Christians and teach that to them. Another thing we have to teach them, and I won't go into this one because I've covered it enough in really making your religion yours, is that they're going to have to learn to stand for themselves in the decisions they make. I did this for this certain reason. I made a mistake. I own up to it. But they're going to stand for themselves and make a decision. They're going to stand up for the Lord as Daniel did, as the three Hebrews did when they were thrown into the fire. They didn't care. They cared more about God, regardless of what was going to happen to them. And we talked about Joseph in the past when he got sold. And he was tempted with fornication. He didn't say, well, better not do this because Daddy might be mad at me. But he was worried what God would think of him. And so our kids got to be learn to stand for themselves on their own principles. And the last one we need to teach them is they need to develop themselves. Again, they need to have that close spiritual relationship, personal relationship. And what I mean by personal is this. I believe this because this is what I've learned. This is what I believe because this is what this book says. I'm making it personal in that way. Along with worshiping God regularly, again, studying for themselves, to learn for themselves what this book says, not because someone else said it. And again, train themselves as well and encourage them not to be that weak, sick, lukewarm Christian, to be strong.